On this trade deadline day, we wanted to visit with the voice of the Cardinals on FS Midwest, Dan McLaughlin, who is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. And Dan will have a ton of material at scoopswithdannymack.com over the course of the next 48 hours. It's good to talk to you, sir. How's everything going?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Everything's good. We're disappointed by the inactivity on the part of the Cardinals. What's your take on what happened today?
Well, I certainly understand it. I get it. And, you know, I think fans are frustrated that they did not go out and make a move. And, you know, quite frankly, I am too. I'm frustrated too. I wanted to see them address what is a glaring need with this team, and that, in my mind, is the rotation and starting pitching. And, you know, you're putting your eggs in a basket that has been, you know, at times not good enough to win. And so, yeah, I'm disappointed, but you know what? You turn the page and you got to look at what you have and try to do the best you can. I think the fallout from not making a move would be seeing how the players respond, number one, because, you know, a lot of times a move is made and the players are like, whoa, that's a big deal. That's a jolt of energy in an otherwise monotonous season, and we've added a guy that can really help us win. The other thing is now Ryan Helsley is starting tonight at Memphis. I'm sure the idea there is not to have him as a starter, but to stretch him out bullpen-wise. Ponce de Leon going down to the minor leagues, you got to have some type of protection. So the fallout is you don't have a lot of depth in that rotation. And you've got fingers crossed with guys like Gomber and Alex Reyes that at some point they can contribute. And the team is good enough to win. However, I think a deal was something that would have, you know, obviously helped the club. And in terms of what this deadline was like across Major League Baseball, you know, here we are talking about being disappointed. There's a lot of teams and a lot of fan bases that are like that right now. And clearly, the commodity is prospects, and no one wants to give them up. And when you look at what Houston did, in my mind, after watching them over the weekend, they're clearly the favorite, especially after Greinke goes there. I think you have to like what the Reds did in getting Bauer and what their rotation could look like from here on out and in the future. But, you know, the deadline did not satisfy a lot of needs for a lot of different clubs. So, you know what? Buckle up, and it should be a lot of fun here the next couple of months.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be fun. It'll be entertaining, and certainly, I mean, it's not lost the fact that the Cardinals are in first place right now as we play it, and the trade deadline has passed. But I wonder what the blueprint looks like here going forward, Dan. Coming into the year, I believe that this was going to be a Cardinal offense that just beat the doors off people, that even if the starting pitching wasn't there, they'd be able to win games 10-7, 11-8. I just kind of felt like they were going to be that club. And we've seen some flashes of it recently. Paul Goldschmidt is as hot as they come right now, doing big-time damage. Marcell Ozuna should be on his way back here soon. Do you believe that the blueprint in the second half could look like that, where offensively the Cardinals kind of have to beat up on teams offensively?
Yeah, I when they didn't make a move, that's immediately what I thought is, boy, they're going to outslug a lot of teams because, you know, Michaelis may go out tonight and pitch his butt off, and Wainwright at home, I'll take him. I mean, he's been great at home. Flaherty, much better at home. So you are going to, though, have those games where you go on the road and it's like, well, this is not the same guy that we sent out there 5 days ago, and we're in a different ballpark, and all of a sudden you're only through three innings, and he's at 65, 70 pitches. You know, it's been that way all year. I don't know why it would change now. So the only thing that I can think of is that maybe the blueprint is exactly what you're talking about, that now that Goldschmidt seems to be relaxed and fits in, the fact that Ozuna comes back, DeJong has picked it up. You got a leadoff man in Tommy Edman. Fowler has been steady, not great, but steady. And maybe you catch lightning in a bottle on a good run or a good week with O'Neill here or there. You know, I know it's a lot of what ifs and what it could have, should have, but that's where you're at right now. So, yeah, I do think that's part of the blueprint, that they think the offense will be able to pick this thing up and maybe carry them some games that the pitching staff just isn't good enough to win games.
Dan, whatever you thought the Cardinals or however this division was going to shape up here in the final months of the season, and maybe, you know, we don't really have any idea because there's so much unpredictability here, but whatever you thought about them before, knowing what happened today, knowing the Brewers adding to their bullpen and the Cubs doing what they did, adding Castellanos, what do you think of the National League Central here now as we get into the final 2 months?
I still think it's up for grabs. You know, there's 56 games, I think, remaining for the Cardinals, with something like 18 of those against Chicago and Milwaukee. So basically a third of your season is head-to-head. So as I evaluate the deadline and what the Cubs did in terms of adding Castellanos, I think that's a big bat. I think that's a great move. And Milwaukee does not, you know, blow me away with their pitching. And I think when the Cubs get Hamels back, maybe they become the team to beat. And Strope will help when he comes off the IL, and assuming he's healthy and things are right. But I there's no reason to think the Cardinals won't be in the middle of it. It's just, you know, it's just disappointing they didn't add to it. And I understand why you want to keep on, you know, with certain young players. However, the division seems to be there for the taking, and I understand why fans would be frustrated at this point. And, you know, that's why I hope Michaelis goes out from the Cardinals' perspective and pitches really well, because if not, I could see how people wake up tomorrow and go, well, they didn't make a move, and Michaelis is not where he was a year ago, and uh-oh, this is not good. I could see that, and that's maybe legitimate. So, as I evaluate the Central, I still think it's up for grabs. I think out of the three teams, though, the Cubs probably improved themselves the most.
Dan McLaughlin with us on 101 ESPN. Dan, you mentioned Helsley starting tonight for Memphis, and Ponce de Leon goes back there presumably to start. I don't know what the situation is with Austin Gomber. Michael Wacha will get the next start. For that fifth spot in the rotation, presuming that Flaherty and Michaelis and Wainwright and Hudson keep doing what they've been doing, what do you think the best scenario for the Cardinals is among the other guys out there from a stuff standpoint and an ability standpoint? What's the best scenario for the Cardinals for that other spot in the rotation?
It's a good question, Randy, and I think you play it by ear. You know, Ponce goes down to make sure that he continues to be stretched out as a starter. Helsley is more of a piggyback situation because of your fifth starter, and probably because of Wainwright and what he does on the road, which has not been good. Really, none of them have been good on the road. It's been, you know, hit and miss, and the splits have been eye-popping. In terms of Gomber, he is on a throwing program now, so that is something to keep in mind, that if he's healthy with the shoulder, you know, at some point in September, you think maybe he could contribute. And the same with Alex Reyes. But in terms of those guys going into rotation, I don't see that happening. It's what you got now. It's going to be Ponce, and it's going to be Wacha, unless there's information that I don't know about. And then those guys will be able to give you some innings in September and piggyback and maybe shorten games with your starters. So you're putting some eggs in that basket. I get it. And it's a shaky proposition. I get it. But it's one that's how they're approaching it. And, you know, in terms of what they do with those guys, I mean, it's just fingers crossed that they come back healthy. But you got to have, you know, some type of depth, which would be Daniel Ponce de Leon and at this point, Helsley, if you stretch him out and get him to 40 or 50 pitches to give you a couple of innings, two or three, maybe even four at times if you need them here in the final 50-plus games.
All right, Dan, let's talk about positive stuff since this team is in, you know, first place and all. Giovanni right. Gallegos does it again. I mean, he steps up, and you're seeing his name bandied about when you talk about national baseball writers and people talking about it. They got a good one in this trade in Giovanni Gallegos, and that bullpen should be a strength here going forward.
I think it is. I think it's been outstanding, even minus Hicks. you know, what they've been able to do. And the last road trip was almost 50% of the innings coming from the pen. My only concern with this, Brad, and you know this quite well, that model is not sustainable. So, you know, you go into August and you've got a heavy schedule coming up where you're on the road a bunch. I mean, we go Oakland, L.A. It's a five-game trip, not an easy trip whatsoever. Come home, and it's only, I believe, three games, and then go back out on the road. And we talked about the fact that these starters on the road have not gone deep into games and not given them a lot of innings. You know, you could see some cracks in that armor. So that's why it's imperative that the starters get it together and give them at least quality starts. Give them six innings, you know, and maybe the seventh, because that's how you're going to save a bullpen. So with that being said, I also could see the Cardinals being creative with guys that could give them multiple innings and coming up and trying to help out because they may need it. And you'd love to have that fresh arm, that fresh bullpen guy or two in August and September. Now, September, there's no excuses. You should be able to do that with the expansion of rosters. But in August, I think this is make or break for that for this season because I've seen some cracks in that bullpen. They've been, but they haven't broke, and they've been really good. But, you know, to your original point, Gallegos has been remarkable. It'll just be interesting if you ride him continually hard here in the month of August, will that be able to be sustainable? And that's really a big question for them.
It is for sure. And as we're talking about it, I think about, obviously, you know that, I know that, everybody listening knows that you don't want to have that many innings out of the bullpen. So when Mike Schilt is managing games right now, I wonder how much that weighs on him to try to, like, get his starter through. He's had the early hook on a lot of guys, and he's made some really good moves here recently. But I wonder if Mike Schilt is trying to think through the same thing on the fly where he might start letting his starters try to work out of some jams, knowing that he has to have his bullpen strong. It's a very hard thing to do right now, this time of the season, as close as the Central is, but he might have some tough decisions to make.
Yeah, I'll say this, Brad. I thought he managed a fantastic game last night. I mean, it was, you know, his hands all over that game and how he managed it aggressively with Wainwright and with Miller and with Gallegos and then into Carlos Martinez, and I thought he was just brilliant on the road trip. I thought Mike managed a great, great road trip in winning 7 of 8. Having said that, to your point, you're right. It's been some quick hooks, and it's been going for the jugular with his bullpen, and that is my question going forward. Can that be sustainable, and will it at some point catch up with the club? Mike is really good. And I'm not sure he's gotten enough credit on how they steal the hit and run. There was a game that we did in Pittsburgh where he started Jose Martinez in a situation he didn't think he would. And it was a hit and run and a base hit. And he winds up at third. It was a base hit to left. Normally, he would never advance on that type of play. And he was brought in. They won by a run. Things of that nature. I just think he does a really, really nice job. I also think he's done, and I've talked about this, a good job of trying to keep guys fresh in your bullpen when you get to this point in the season. Very, very tough to do, and especially when you have Ponce going, you know, three innings and three consecutive starts, essentially. Wainwright on the road gutted through, you know, 5 or 6 innings but wasn't great. Last night he pitches into the sixth. You know, this is where Michaelis, it would just be kind of a tone-setting start for him to come in and go deep in the game, save a bullpen, and set the tone from here on out and go up by 2 on the Cubs. I think it's a very, very important game for him and for the team. But, you know, as we were talking, I just think Mike has done a really nice job in trying to keep guys fresh. We've had extensive conversations about that where there are moves he'd love to make along the way in the first couple of months and has not done that specifically because of what we're talking about, not to burn guys out. But when you're in a tight race like this, sometimes you got to push it. And, you know, you may see some of those times pop up here in 50-plus games left to go.
last night was the first outing for Carlos Martinez in which he did not allow a base runner going back to July 13th. And if you go back in his last three outings, he has been scoreless in those three. Does he look right to you right now?
Well, I'd say this, when he's rested, yeah. And it goes back to the point and the question that Brad was making, where they rode him really hard on the road trip, and he gutted through, you know, a 7, 8, 9 day period where he made, you know, 5 or 6 appearances with, and when he's coming in, it's a different deal. I mean, it's high leverage and the game is on the line. So when he's got rest, he's filthy. He's nasty. But when you push him a little bit is when you see that lack of control, or it's not pinpoint, or a changeup will be left up to a lefty, those kind of things. But when he is rested, Ronj, he can be dominant, and that's what we saw last night.
A couple more quick things, Daniel. Number one, if the playoffs started today, whether it's a wild card game or game one of a division series, who would your starting pitcher for the Cardinals be?
Miles Michaelis.
Good call. And yeah, he's earned it.
That's where I go, yep.
And the second thing is, it seems to me, especially, and you mentioned this, that this trip to Oakland and L.A. is going to be huge for this team. The Cardinals are really good at home, and they're 500 on the road now, but playing good teams on the road, I think those five games are going to be really big.
Yeah, and as it pertains to the look at the Central, that's where the downfall currently has been with the Cubs. They have been awful on the road and away from Wrigley, and they're looking for offense, and that's why they got Castellanos. But, you know, if they're going to be a championship club, they've got to play better away from Wrigley Field. And I would say the same thing for the Cardinals. If they're going to be a championship club, they've got to find a way to, you know, earn a split in Oakland and get a game in Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers have been so good. I just think it's a big stretch for them coming up. Obviously, though, I think tonight is a very, very important game for the Cardinals. They don't make a move. You know, guys probably looking for it. Doesn't happen. But if you win, you know, it just kind of puts that on the back burner. No move was made. And, hey, we're going with the team we got. And we believe in this team. And let's go. No excuses. So that's Major League Baseball. And that's the way it is for the Cardinals in 2019.
Daniel, we will be tuned into that big game. We know you have to get to work for FS Midwest. Appreciate you joining us on short notice, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. That is the great Dan McLaughlin joining us here on 101 ESPN. So, like all of us, Dan disappointed, but also expressing some confidence in what the Cardinals might be able to do with one of the guys that will take that ostensibly the fifth spot in the rotation.
Well, I mean, that's, and for other people, the problem is might, you know, mm-hmm. You want it a little bit more than might. And I guess that's still true for Milwaukee and it's true for Chicago, but those two teams got better today.
The only team that acquired a starting pitcher that doesn't have a might is the Astros. It's the only one.
Yeah, that team is stupid.
I was thinking
we might win it in 4 or 5.
And I mean stupid good. That team is really good.
The Cardinals have, and I'm sure part of it is because of the way he was used in the first half, the Cardinals have dramatically decreased their usage of John Gant. BT, you've been through this. How difficult would it be to stretch out John Gant to get him to 50 pitches?
I think that's the last thing that you want to do with John Gant right now. I think John Gant, to me, kind of looks gassed currently. Like, he doesn't have the same stuff. The ball's not coming out of his hand like it was earlier. I would like to be backing off him more than adding on to him.
I'm with you on that.
I'd like him to stay where he's at.
Yeah, at least give him some time to kind of build in some rest here. And then if you want to rely heavy on him at the very tail end of the year, then go ahead.
Back
but
to
right
the biggest
now,
point, right?
Yes.
That's been the biggest problem, is they've had to continually go to these guys. And it's great when Giovanni Gallego steps up, and it's great when Brebbia steps up. And, you know, hopefully Adalberto Mejia is able to step up and potentially provide you a couple of innings, you know, out there, multiple innings when he goes out. But I'd be backing off more than adding on.
See, and that's why I wondered, you if you send him out for 30 pitches, 4 days of rest, 50 pitches, 4 days of rest, is that going to take more out of him than pitching four times in 10 days?
No, I don't know if it will, but I also don't I don't think that you're going to get as much value
because he's
out
used
of
up, kind of.
Yeah, I think that you're going to find in shorter stints, I think you'll find more value. Now, you don't want to have to go to him 3 out of 4, but even when he's gassed, he still gives you a good opportunity. But if you're able to pull the reins back a tiny bit and build in some rest for him, I think that you'd be great.
Ultimately, you need him more often on a daily basis.
Need
you will
I need
every
him
5
more
days.
Available. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Next up, if you're a Cardinal player, what does the stagnant deadline mean to you? That's next on 101 ESPN. Well, I get that, and I said that. You don't want to do a deal just to make a deal. But, again, going back to the deal that Cincinnati made with Oakland, and maybe Cincinnati didn't want to trade within the division.
Or maybe you didn't want to trade controllable players to Cincinnati also.
That could be. But if you are all about 2019, as the Cardinals have said they are, then in my opinion, if you're not willing to trade within the division a controllable player, you have to change your mindset a little bit to focus on 2019.
See, and that is a very important point, is what do you think of this year? Do you think enough of this season and in the context of the division, that it is not what we thought it was going to be? It's certainly tight like we thought it was going to be, but it's not good in the way we thought it was going to be good. And you had an opportunity. So did you want to take advantage of this, or are you still long playing everything? And for me, the fact that you got Paul Goldschmidt, and I know you signed him to an extension, and I mentioned this earlier, I think you want to take advantage of his early 30 years as best as you can. He's going to be 32 in September. You signed him to that extension, so by the time he gets to the end of it, he's going to be in his mid-30s. And at some point, his production is going to start to tail off. Do you want to take advantage of him as long as you have him? Do you want to take advantage of Marcell Ozuna when you finally get him back in the lineup as long as you have him? And I think the answer should have been yes.
Now, we get a text, didn't affect the Blues' run, not making a deal. But when the Blues got to the trade deadline, what do you think they needed?
To play better.
A goaltender?
They were rolling by, that was in late March.
Oh, they needed a goalie.
They needed a goaltender and well before the deadline.
Yeah,
and they got one.
They got one from within. My point is that the Blues were good enough so that when they got to the trade deadline, nobody was surprised or upset when they didn't add to their team, especially within that locker room, because they knew that they had a team that was capable of doing special things. Heck, when Doug Armstrong asked the core players in December, "What should I do?" they said, "Hey, keep us together. We're still gelling, and we've got the talent to win here." I think that's a different situation. Cardinal players must be aware of the fact that every fifth day, their fifth starter is giving them 2 innings, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. So if I'm a player in that clubhouse, I want reinforcements. I want the front office to say,
absolutely,
hey, I've got your back.
I totally do, too. And we do get a text here from the 314, and it asks, do you think that Mike Schilt is as frustrated as the rest of us? And while he would never say it, I bet there is frustration there with Schilty also. He's like, man, my guys have battled like crazy. We fought. We've done everything that we can do. And by the way, we're going to continue to do so. We're going to be relentless on a day-in, day-out basis. But, man, it would have been nice to be able to fire somebody else out there every fifth day and believe that he's going to get us deep into a ball game and give us a chance, you know? So I bet, again, you won't hear it, but I'd be willing to bet there's a tad bit of frustration there also.
His job's harder. His job could have been made easier on that fifth day just by getting somebody you know can eat innings. And there are multiple conversations you can have here. And somebody via text had said, look, if they did go get Zach Wheeler, for example, and I think you could probably throw Roark into that mix too, that does not make them a World Series favorite over the Astros. The Astros are still the favorite. That is true. But if you're... If the thing you think you're most capable of doing is getting to the playoffs this year and you want to take advantage of that opportunity, then you better take advantage of the opportunity.
We've heard a lot of your frustration today, whether it be via the mic drops or the text line. And John Mozeliak, he listens. He knows what's going on.
We're not going to do an irrational deal just to say we did one, right? I can sense sort of the frustration in the air here that, oh, you guys didn't do anything. But what if we had done something and just been bad? And so then we read about that too. So, you know, the object of this, or the goal of this, is to try to make successful and smart deals. And we just didn't feel we were at a point where we could do that. And we weren't just going to do it to just say we did it.
I give the Cardinals the benefit of the doubt a lot of times. And one of the things that Bill DeWitt says pretty much every offseason when they don't do something big, and I give them credit for going out and getting Goldschmidt and Miller during this offseason, but when they don't make the big move, he says, we'll have dry powder for the trade deadline. Cardinals still have a lot of dry powder. They have a ton of prospects. And this is one of those situations where I think it's inexcusable. We all said during the offseason, we were all in complete agreement that, hey, Flaherty and Michaelis had done it for 1 year. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think we could all agree that those guys aren't as good as they were last year. Last year, Wainwright, Carlos Martinez, and Waka all had injury problems. This year, Wainwright, Waka, and Carlos Martinez have all had injury problems. And the depth that you thought you had with young pitching hasn't been there. We wanted them to get a veteran starter during the offseason. And when they didn't, I said, okay, well, if they need one at the trade deadline, if the youngsters don't work out, I'm sure they'll go get one. That's the approach you have to take if you're a major league team. And they haven't been able to accomplish taking that approach.
Yeah, there are times also, rarely probably, but there are times when things like kind of sneak up on you where it's like, holy crap, we're right before the trade deadline and we just had a rash of injuries. One of our guys goes down. But talking about that depth, Reyes and Gomber haven't picked up a baseball in a while.
Yeah.
And as Dan said, Gomber's back on like a throwing program now, but they haven't pitched in games in a long time. Things are different if you believe that you might have Alex Reyes coming back that can impact the club, although we've been there, done that, put a lot of eggs in that basket. Gomber would have affected this ball club at some point, but he's not there and he wasn't there to do so. And the clips that we're hearing from Mo right now, to be totally honest, these were like the last things that I expected to hear today. This was like the last press conference that I thought that we were going to have, or last media scrum where it's like, we got nothing.
We understand your frustration.
I didn't think that was going to happen. I really didn't.
Well, to me, and I know, again, going back to Randy's point, we did talk about this a lot during the offseason when they touted 9 or 10 guys they felt like could start games. That's great and all, but most of those 9 were very much unproven or proven very little at the major league level. And you also have to take into account the possibility and in fact, likelihood that some of those guys are going to get hurt. It's very rare you're going to go through half of a season or leading up to the trade deadline and only have to use a handful of starters. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some injuries. And the point is you have to be able to insulate yourself from that, which means you get another veteran starter, so that when one of those guys gets hurt, then you dip into those 9 or 10 guys you believe can start, or the extra 4 or 5 in the minor leagues that can come up and help you out, instead of having to rely on all of them from the month of April all the way through until we're at the point we're at now. Insulate yourself. Make your odds better, and they didn't do it.
Let's get to a few more mic drops. Here's our first one on 101 ESPN.
Thank God Ron's just not our GM. He wants to trade just to trade. We're in first place.
I can't tell if he's being serious or not.
Not sure about that.
I don't think he was.
No, I don't think so either. And they did sign Andrew Miller with the idea that he would be a high leverage guy. And they had a bunch of left-handers. And Gomber was one of those that they thought might be a bullpen piece, like he was last year. But obviously, Tyler Webb hasn't been the guy. They really haven't had that other left-hander that they felt
get
like.
Get him out, Alberto.
That's why we got him. Here's our next.
They're using our love against us. The Cardinals are using our love for this team. They know we're going to show up. They know we're going to support it because we love this team. And as infuriated as we get when they don't do things to improve the club, we're still going to watch and we're still going to show up. And I hate it. I hate that they didn't make a move. I hate it. But I can't stop watching my team. I mean, they're my team. And they're using our love for this team against us. That's what they're doing.
Can't quit you. That was not planned.
You're still going to love her. Yeah. She cheated on you. Who cares? She's fine.
She's beautiful.
I know.
And here's another mic drop on 101 ESPN.
The Cardinals are outfield heavy. That's the team we've been for the past few years now, I would have in a heartbeat traded Harrison Bader to get another pitcher. Again, I realize he might not be that much better than Waka, but still, it's an improvement.
No, we say we would lick turds to ensure the fact that, they would do something significant.
Yeah.
But nobody from the front office over with the Cardinals approached us with any petrified turds today.
Or so you say.
I'm telling you right now, I'd be honest with you. I'd lick the turd if, in fact, it was going
to
help.
If they come to me at 2:30 this afternoon.
Yeah, you're doing it, right?
Yeah, I'm doing
it. I've got no pride. I spent my morning at Busch Stadium walking around like a hot dog.
In a wiener costume.
Yeah, yeah. I was a 6-foot wiener today around the whole stadium, looking like a real jerk. You don't think I'd have licked a turd? Come
Did on. You see Mo or Gersh?
No, they were probably busy. I was going to say making deals.
Yes, calling. They were busy.
Yeah. New phone, who dis?
That's not nice.
And usually it's the other way around. Usually the man doesn't put the wiener over himself.
No, I pulled it right on.
That's what that means.
Very good. Yeah.
If this is a tease, all right, because this isn't out yet. But Fred Bird and I, it's a back-to-school thing. It's going to be happening for the Cardinals Kids Show. And I'm going to mascot school. And he picked me a costume, and I'm a wiener.
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
A big wiener.
Yeah, well, as big as I am. All wiener this thing.
Hey, we're headed down the stretch of this edition of The Fast Lane. A game of Would You Rather is coming your way next on 101 ESPN. We'll be joining the Astros and Indians in progress at the conclusion of this program. But right now it's time for a game of Would You Rather. And with your Would You Rathers for us, here's Big Sizz.
Guys, would you rather step in dog poo with your bare foot?
Ooh, done it before.
Yep, been there, done that squishy. Gets in the toes.
Or with a shoe that has a patterned sole, and it's going to be stuck all up in there.
That's the only thing I've done.
I'm going barefoot, actually.
Easier to clean off.
Yeah, a lot of times. Okay, we've all been there, right? So you step in it in your shoe, and then you try to get it off in the grass.
You have to get the stick out.
You get the stick, but that doesn't get everything. So then you get the hose, and you're starting to spray, and it sprays you in the face.
Terrible.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That has happened.
Bare feet, though. It's off. Like, it's gone. We've all been sprayed in the face with poo water, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't want that. I'll just go barefoot.
Not human poo water, but only dog poo water.
Yeah, I think just that. I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
You hope.
We might have that jogger in our neighborhood.
Yes, but maybe by a bird. It's good luck, you know.
Is that R. Kelly or is that something else?
I think he likes
the other thing. But let's move on before we're in trouble.
Allegedly. Would you rather buy a house from Mo or buy a used car from Mike Gersh?
Probably a house.
You're going to buy a house.
It's probably going to be a nice house.
Really
for sure.
Nice house. He's doing well for himself.
You never know
about
his
house.
Oh, maybe he's selling somebody else's.
Yeah. I think it's more of like a trust kind of thing.
Where do I sign?
Well,
I guess. Okay.
I'll do the house for Mo.
It's going to be a nice house. Yeah. You never know about a used car.
Never.
You never know.
Give me the Carfax.
Would you rather have a decent ground ball pitcher from the Mets or just keep some middling outfielder who can't hit at all?
I'd rather have the decent ground ball pitcher that takes the ball every time.
I need a – you know, I'd really like a
strikeout. I don't think DeGrom was made available, but
– Yeah, you know, the idea so wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to – y'all go with that too. Yeah. That'd be great.
And by the way, I will have you know, for those that aren't – accustomed to talking baseball, every single hitter in Major League Baseball that has been a good hitter has been great from their first year, and no hitter has ever improved, no hitter has ever gotten better. So what you see with a hitter in the first season that you ever see him you get.
Well, Randy, I don't know who's arguing that.
Yeah, that's 100% it. Nobody gets better, nobody grows, nobody develops, nobody learns on the job.
I don't think anybody said
that.
A
really good point, Randy.
I think that's what the texter said, right?
You can't hit. Yeah. Middling outfielder, they can't hit.
Yeah.
That was exact.
I think what he might be saying is, isn't it something like 20% of prospects make it and do something meaningful in the major leagues?
But what if it's part of the 20?
There's your what if. What if you got your rotation better for 2019, though, huh?
Also something to keep in mind, and I do put myself in this category, even though I got to play in the big leagues for a handful of years. All these people that you say are middling and can't do anything are way better at what they do than you've ever been.
It's true.
With all due respect.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's arguing against that either.
Well, people act like stuff's really easy.
No, but
yes,
they're,
they do.
They're
yeah.
Easier for major leaguers.
This guy's a bum. You're a bum, actually.
I mean, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you.
This guy sucks. You suck.
It's comparative to other major leaguers, though, is what he's talking about. I don't think he's so stupid to think he can do a job better than Bader or O'Neill.
You check the text line?
Yes, and I don't think he's that stupid. We get some stupid ones, but I don't think he's that dumb.
I could... Five down. I can hit better than O'Neill and Bader. Suck it, you ass.
That's
from the 314.
That's called exaggerating for effect.
This texter from the 314.
Seriously believe it.
They say, if you buy a used car from Mike Gersh, it's going to turn out to be a Ferrari like Luke Voigt and Oscar Mercado.
Yeah, there you go.
We get a text here from Captain Obvious at the 618. Y'all realize the texter was talking about the Wheeler-Bader rumors, right?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. Good to know.
I thought he said a good ground ball pitcher.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, we drew the parallels.
Oh, okay.
We got there. Thank you.
As an indoor pet, would you rather have a 20-foot python, a cow, or 50 chickens?
I think I'm going to, an indoor pet, I think I'm going to go with the python, actually.
What? Yeah, you can keep it in the cage.
Keep it in the bathtub.
The guy
no,
who lifts his
out.
Leg up to avoid snakes during his bike rides, and you're going to have a 20-foot python.
Can
in
you
your
imagine
house?
Having a cow, a full-size cow, or. And you don't have to play with the python. You can keep it in an aquarium.
You could if you wanted to.
Could you
to,
imagine
though, right?
having 20 chickens in your house or a full-size cow inside your house?
I might take the cow, though. Cows are very docile animals. And if, in fact, they're
in
the way.
Big.
Yeah, but you can clean it up. And you can just tell them, hey, Elsie, move, you know? Like,
that'd be funny.
Yeah. That sounds cool. I'm going to go with that.
The snake is by far going to stink the least.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with here.
50 chickens, your house is going to smell.
Mm-hmm.
A cow, your house is absolutely going to smell. A snake, you're house guests will never even know it's there if you put them in a room.
Can we put a qualifier on this?
Yeah.
Does the cow have to be alive?
Yes, it has to. Steaks do not count.
Got a freezer full?
Jeez.
I got three of them, actually.
You know, it's funny.
Brisket, get over here.
You said that, and I'm thinking, why would you want a dead cow just laying in your living room, rotting? Like, oh, yeah, steak.
You get a cow rug, okay. I guess, if you want to.
I get
to.
It.
Would you rather have your ankles hit 3 times with a scooter or give a full-on 5-inch lick of any part of a public bathroom?
Five scooter inch? My ankles.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
What are we talking about with the scooter? Is it like one of those razor scooters
yes.
where the side of it like hits you? Yeah. That hurts
and it
so
hurts really
freaking
bad.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to do a trick on it.
I'm still not licking 5 inches in a bathroom.
No, under any
no,
circumstances.
Thank you.
No. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. So, we got 4 hours out of the Cardinals doing nothing.
Told you we could
we
do it.
We did it.
Bam.
We sure did.
Seinfeld did 9 years.
Yeah, that's right. Great job by our producer today, Brad Barnes. BT.
Mo, I'm sure you've picked up on this by now. People are a tad bit disappointed, and some of them have been saying some very mean, harsh things online. I mean, how do you approach that? It's a good way to go about it.
It is. Ron.
Guys, it is Adalberto Mejia time.
Mike Ratter is always doing a fantastic job as our board operator. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Indians and Astros coming up for us until tomorrow at 3. Good night, St. Louis.